Our scripture reading today comes from Proverbs and from the book of Matthew. Speak up for those who cannot speak for themselves. Ensure justice for those being crushed. Yes, speak up for the poor and helpless and see that they get justice. Do to others whatever you would like them to do to you. This is the essence of all that is taught in the law and the prophets. The word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God. You may be seated. Well, good morning and welcome to the Living Water Church. And what a blessing it is to be together and to worship. And I want to especially welcome those who are here from STEM Camp. We hope you sense God's presence with us today. And so we've been in this series called 40 Days with Jesus this summer, where we're looking at the Beatitudes that's found in Matthew. And we're specifically looking at the eight statements at the beginning that Jesus gives to us. If you want to know the blessed life, this is how you do it. And so let's go ahead. We're going to read our first verse together. It's Matthew chapter 5, verse 6. And so we can get that verse up there on the screen. Let's read this together. Start with God blesses. Ready? God blesses those who hunger and thirst for justice, for they will be satisfied. And so during this series, we were asked to make four commitments because we're really expecting God to do some great things through our faithfulness. And so we were making this commitment that, number one, we were going to give God the first part of our day by being sure we had a devotional. We're praying having that time each morning. And then we're going to give God the first part of our week by being in a worship service each week as much as we can. And then we were giving the first part of our finances through tithing, and we were giving the first part of our relationships by inviting people to church, by being involved in some type of a small group, by focusing on people. And so if you would go ahead and grab your message notes that you should have received as you came in, and we're going to look at what Jesus has to say about justice this week. And so again, looking at Matthew chapter 5, verse 6, God blesses those who are hungry and thirsty for justice, for they will be satisfied. Would you circle in that word the word justice? I mean, what does Jesus mean by the word justice? In one dictionary I checked, I found over 25 different definitions for the word justice. And as I was flipping through the news channel, you know, the word justice seemed to come up often. I think I heard it at least a dozen times. Well, what does it mean to live for justice? What is Jesus talking about in this beatitude? Well, in this case, Jesus actually gives us his definition of justice a few chapters later, telling us what living a life of justice is all about. In one verse, he kind of sets it up, and then a little bit later, he defines it. And this definition is so powerful that this definition itself has a name. We call it the Golden Rule. It says, do to others whatever you would like them to do to you. Now, this is the essence of all that's taught in the Law and the Prophets. And the Law and the Prophets, that's the Old Testament. So do for others what you would like for them to do for you. Now, this idea, the Golden Rule, has actually been around for thousands of years, but this was the first time in recorded history that it was ever stated proactively. You know, the idea of the Golden Rule actually goes back to 3000 BC in India, known as the Hammurabi's Code. That code says it this way. It says, this is the sum of duty. Do not unto others that which would cause you pain if done to you. So did you catch that? It's kind of stated negatively. Don't do to others what you don't want them to do to you. Well, Jesus flipped this definition from a preventative rule into a proactive rule. Instead, he says, instead of just avoiding pain for others, he proactively says, do to others what you would want done to you. And so this is Jesus calling to us, to this proactive lifestyle. Jesus says, take the initiative, just as Jesus did when he came to this earth as a Savior. He took the initiative. Jesus says we should go out of our way to express love towards others, just as he modeled through his life of going out of the way to meet the needs of others when he was here. So Jesus says, in this way, It said it this way in Luke chapter 6, and I'm going to use the Message version of the Bible, and they translate it as, here is a simple rule of thumb for behavior. Ask yourself what you want people to do for you, then grab the initiative and do it for them. Would you circle those words, grab the initiative? I love how they translated that verse. Grab the initiative, be proactive and living out the golden rule. Don't wait for others to do things for you. Instead, be proactive in how you approach other people. So Jesus teaches that justice is proactive. As Christians, we're to take the initiative. Jesus was an extremist when it comes to this justice and love. And he calls us to this kind of extreme living, this golden rule living. So how do you live out the golden rule? Well, when you study the life of Christ, you find that he gives four proactive principles. Proactively, we should recognize. Proactively, we should unite. Proactively, we should look. And then proactively, we should embrace. So I want us to look at those four principles today. To live out the golden rule, the first thing you need to do is you need to recognize the needs of others. You know, there are essentially two ways you can live your life. And each of these ways have consequences. You can live your life self-centered, or you can live your life other-centered. You can turn inward and only think of yourself and only care about my world, and your motto can be me, 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 I, what I want. Now, in the short term, that might work well for you. But in the long term, there's something problematic about a self-centered life. Because he who dies alone, well, they die alone. Or you could choose to live an others-centered life. You could say, I'm going to be more interested in other people. I'm going to find my satisfaction not just in personal gain, not in fame, not in getting my name in the headlines, but in reaching out to others and helping others and make a difference in the life of others. Likewise, there are consequences for that kind of life. While you might give up some of the material gain that you might have gotten as a self-centered life, instead for eternity, your life is going to make a difference. So which life are you going to live? Are you going to live an others-centered life, or are you going to live a self-centered life? Because you could be a part of a worship service and still be very self-centered. Anyone can do that. But you cannot be a true follower of Jesus without being others-centered. Why? Because to follow Christ is to act like Christ, and Christ was others-centered. In Matthew chapter 20, Jesus said this, "For even the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve others, and to give his life as a ransom for many." Jesus, the one who worked miracles, who turned water into wine, who fed the 5,000, who promised and then did rise again from the dead, the person the Bible calls the Son of God, the Prince of Peace, the King of Kings. I mean, if anybody deserved to be served, Jesus did, because he had the highest credentials of anyone who has ever lived. He created everything. He was fully God incarnate, yet he chose not to be served, but to serve. Would you go back to that verse and circle the words to serve, and then circle the words to give, and then draw a line between those two? Because to serve is to give. What does it mean to serve others? It means to give to others, to share your life. It means recognizing the needs of those around you and be proactive in giving what is necessary to meet those needs. Now, as humans, we're really good at recognizing the needs of those we know really well. I mean, if you have a close friend has a need, we're pretty good at meeting those needs. If someone in our inner circle has a need, we usually know about it, and we're usually pretty proactive about those needs. But Jesus expands our circle. He calls us to get outside of our comfort zone and to reach out and recognize the needs of those who are not necessarily inside our inner circle. This is one of the great themes of the Sermon on the Mount. Christ says in Matthew chapter 5, verse 47, if you are kind only to your friends, how are you different from anyone else? Even pagans do that. You know, if you look at the literal translation of that verse, it says even atheists do that. What I'm calling you to do is to reach out to those who are not in your inner circle. Here Jesus is saying, guys, you need to wake up. Don't just do good to your friends. Do good to those who are not yet your friends or those who will never be your friends. Get outside of your comfort zone and recognize the needs of those who you don't know so well. And so who are those that you don't know well? Who besides our friends are we to welcome? Proverbs 31 gives us one answer. It says to speak up for those who cannot speak for themselves. Ensure justice for those who are being crushed. Yes, speak up for the poor and helpless and see that they get justice. See that they are treated as you would want to be treated if you were in their place. And once you start looking around, you begin to realize that needs are everywhere. They're all over the place. There are people at your work who have needs that you can meet. There are people on your street, at school, at jail, at the park, at the grocery store, everywhere you go. You can't turn around without seeing someone in need. And so we need to open up our eyes. We need to notice and be proactive. It's the first step to living out the golden rule. Jesus calls us to live as other-centered life. So that's number one. Once you recognize those needs, the second step to living out the golden rule is to unite with others in doing good. Unite with others. God's plan has always been for us to accomplish His will together. That's why the church exists. We're a community gathering together. Christianity is a community faith, and we're called to live together publicly to worship, to study, to fellowship, and to live out the teachings of Christ, including this one on justice. And so, you know, look how, you know, Jesus, when he organized the early disciples, when he called his 12, his early disciples to him, and he sent them out, even though they were still small in number, he sent them out in pairs. Mark chapter 6, verse 7 says he gave them authority to cast out evil spirits. Wow. So Jesus says, when you work together, you have the authority and power to deal with evil spirits that are influencing all of the injustice in our world. And when you start looking around, when you start recognizing the needs of those around you, you're going to see these tremendous needs. You're going to see some incomprehensible needs. And then you begin to think, how can we possibly meet these needs? How can I overcome the barriers to meeting these needs? And you'll start to think, well, this is just too much. I can't do this alone. I'm just one person. Who am I to take on this task? Yes, you're just one person, but God designed you to work in harmony with others to make a difference. One person working with another person on a common God-oriented goal. They can make a huge impact. No wonder the writer in Ecclesiastes said, two people are better off than one, for they can help each other succeed. Not only do two people together, you know, get a better return for their labor, but when they're working together to fulfill a proactive, Christ-initiated service, they get His power to deal even with evil opposition, evil spirits, and they get His presence as they're doing it. Jesus talks about this in Matthew chapter 18, verse 20, where it says, when two or three come together as my followers, it doesn't say where they come together. It says just that when two or three come together as my followers, circle those words, as my followers, Jesus said, I am there with them. When you're working for Jesus, whether it's in the church or out in the community or somewhere around the world, when you're working for Jesus, you're living out His teachings in His name, you get Jesus and all that comes with Him behind you. You get all the power, all of his presence, all the proactive preparation and unlimited potential that he brings. You get that when you work for him, when you unite together under his banner to make a difference, to live out the golden rule, to bring about justice. Now, at our church, we're very committed to helping you unite with others to do good, whether it's making cards for those who are struggling, or bringing food for families going through a difficult time, or donating food to OSEF, or gas money for Love in the Name of Christ, or collecting coats in the wintertime, or sending things to kids around the world through Operation Christmas Child, or going on a mission trip, whether it's to Dominican Republic or Cuba or some other place. We are committed to that because we believe that as a church, God has called us to be proactive in our community and in our country and around the world. We're called to give to good causes, but we're also called to get personally involved. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 20 says, "So we are Christ's ambassadors. God is making his appeal through us. We speak for Christ when we plead, come back to God." You know, I envision a day where, you know, in our church where we have ambassadors actively working all across our various communities that surround us in Oxford and Ortonville and Goodrich and Clarkston and Lake Orion and Waterford, you know, representing Jesus to the meek and to the lowly, to those who need love, intentionally serving others. I mean, it's already happening now, but I just believe it's going to get even bigger and bigger. And so what is an ambassador for Jesus? An ambassador is simply one who wants to live out the golden rule, who will look for small ways to help others daily. The reality is it's all about small ways. That's our third step to living out this golden rule. Look for small actions. Your Christian faith is about small actions done every day. Reading a devotional and praying every day. Spending time with a small group each week, going to church each Sunday, being an active participant in a ministry team. These are all small things, but they reap big rewards when they're done consistently. So much of what God does in our lives is about looking for small ways. Small actions can reach big results when it's been consistently done. And so Matthew 25, Jesus talks about this. He says, "Then the king will say to those on the right, 'Come, you who are blessed by my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the creation of the world. For I was hungry, and you fed me. I was thirsty, and you gave me a drink. I was a stranger, and you invited me into your home. I was naked, and you gave me clothing. I was sick, and you cared for me. I was in prison, and you visited me.'" Go back to the very first sentence and circle those words, "blessed by my Father." Jesus says, do you want to be blessed? He gives us these eight ways to do it in the Beatitudes, but then he drives it home here on this issue of justice that we're looking at today. Do you want to be blessed? Jesus says, then share a meal, offer a drink, welcome a stranger, give away some clothes, assist the sick and visit the separated. Just small acts with great eternal rewards. So what are some small actions? I mean, I want us to make this just really personal today. What are some small actions that you can take every day to help others? What's a small action that you could take today? Remember that little silly saying, you know, yard by yard it's hard, but inch by inch it's a cinch. How do you live out the golden rule? It's inch by inch, act by act. Look around, recognize the need, get with some others, unite with them, and then take small steps every day. Small steps that lead in the right direction will ultimately bring about the results. You know, they're small steps, but they also can be costly steps. Small actions are probably going to cost you something. They're going to cost you some of your time. They're going to cost you your energy. They're going to cost you probably some money. But it's worth it to make the difference in a person's life. One of the great things about the Sermon on the Mount, in addition to living the blessed lifestyle, is the value of people. Jesus over and over tells us that people matter. That people matter more than anything else. People matter more than our schedules. People matter more than money. People matter more than our personal politics. Have we learned the lesson yet? Have we learned that loving people is more important than our resources, than our money? I hope so. Because Ecclesiastes tells us that those who love money will never have enough. Money doesn't bring happiness. You know, it's only temporary. It's here today and gone tomorrow. I mean, can anyone give a testimony of that reality, right? I heard a quote recently from Jim Carrey, the actor, who said, "I think everyone should get rich and famous and do everything they ever dreamed of so that they could see that it is not the answer." Money, fame, success, it's fleeting. Look, money is fleeting, but people last forever. Invest your time, your energy, and your money in people. Start with small ways every day and watch that investment grow. It's only when you invest in people that you find true, deep happiness. Happiness is not found in money, fame, or title. It's found in helping people. And so if we want to be happy, that's what part of that process is, helping someone else every day. So first, recognize the needs of others. Second, unite with others to do good. Third, look for some small actions to take. That's the first three steps. And then step number four, probably the hardest, is to embrace the risk. There is a risk involved in what I'm asking you to do. It's risky because you have to decide to take action. It's risky because, I mean, how and where do you even start? And once you see a need, is this something that you should get involved with? If it doesn't go well, let it be a learning lesson. But keep looking for needs and get involved. Take a risk. Show some love. Give without expecting to get anything back in return. And so my challenge today is for you to be proactive. I want you to challenge you to embrace the risk of it all. Look, Christianity is an adventure. Let's live it to the fullest. That's what Jesus said in John chapter 12, verse 25, where he says, "Those who love their life in this world will lose it. Those who care nothing for their life in this world will keep it for eternity." And so let's let it go. Let's be reckless this week with our love. Let's get out this week and look for ways all around us for God to use us to make a difference. I'm praying that God will take our small actions this week and work miracle after miracle after miracle in our community. I mean, He will, if you're committed to living out this golden rule. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 8 says, "We loved you so much that we shared with you not only God's good news, but our own lives too." This is what it means to live out the gospel. This is being a disciple of Jesus Christ in our everyday lives. Christianity is not just about what we believe to be true. It's also about sharing our lives with others. It's being salt. It's being a lighthouse Monday through Saturday, getting recharged on Sunday, and then going back onto that mission field the rest of the week. Why is justice so important? Why are we called to this work? Why put forth the effort and get our hands dirty when it'd be so much easier to say, "This is really none of my business. Let the government fix this problem. Let someone else with more time or more money or more wisdom or a better connection with the situation, let them get involved. Why should I raise my hand and say, I'll help?" Well, here's the why. John chapter 6, verse 35 and 38, Jesus replied, "I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never go hungry again. Whoever believes in me will never be thirsty. And then verse 38, anyone who eats this bread will not die but live forever. We're not just talking about meeting a need. We're talking about giving Jesus the space to heal a person eternally because we're willing to get involved. We're willing to make a connection. We're willing to make a sacrifice of time or money or even our insanity as we enter into a chaotic situation. The whole point is that we take up the cause of justice because we want as many people as possible to go to heaven with us. And we want to see people healed of their issues before them. And then plus Matthew 25, verse 40. It says, and then the king will say, I tell you the truth. What you did for one of the least of these, my brothers and sisters, you were doing it to me. We're not only ministering to people in need, we're also doing it to Jesus. We're being Jesus in the flesh, and we're ministering to Jesus at the same time. We get the opportunity to bless God. I have no idea really how that works, but that is just amazing to me. That little old me can bless my Savior Jesus Christ, who gave it all to me so that I could be forgiven and free. I get to give something back to him. One last verse. John chapter 15, verse 4. Jesus says, remain in me, and I will remain in you. For a branch cannot produce fruit if it is severed from the vine. And you cannot produce fruit unless you remain in me. Producing fruit. Getting involved with meeting the needs of someone. It's a part of the process of remaining in Jesus. It's part of the process of being in a right relationship with Jesus. It's part of the end goal of hearing those words at the end of our journey here on this earth when we get to heaven of well done, good and faithful servant. And so into what is God calling you today? If you don't know, then ask him to show you. And keep your eyes open to see what the Holy Spirit wants you to be involved in. Go on an adventure with God. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, help us to be people who live out the golden rule. Help us to look for people around us who are in need, to unite with others in meeting those needs. It could change a community. It could change the lives of people for eternity. God, as I think about the creativity of everybody in this service, I could only imagine what you want to do today. So I pray that you'll work miracles through your people this week. God, take us and show us the exact place where you want to use us. And then drill into us that this is not just a one-time only first step, but this is meant to be a lifestyle for us, an ongoing daily adventure with you, God. God, I pray for your blessings. Would you press it down, overflow it, and run it over? Use this in a way that would honor you. We pray all this in Jesus' precious and holy name. Amen.